ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयं उदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवते उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। ओम अज्ञान तिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजन शलाकय चक्षुरुन्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। मुखं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघायते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वंदे श्रीगुरु दीनतारिणिं परमानंदमाधवं श्रीचैतन्येश्वरं। नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामीति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे। नमो महाविदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रधायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नामने गौरक्षे नमः। पंचतत्वात्मकं कृष्णं भक्तरूप स्वरूपकं भक्तावतारं भक्ताख्यं नमामि भक्तशक्तिकं। हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीन बंधु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। सो वी हैव बीन डिस्कसिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम। The discussion is going on from third canto of Bhagavatam, where it opens with Vidura leaving the house and going to pilgrimage. And while he is on the pilgrimage, finally he arrived at the banks of Yamuna, where he met Uddhava, another great devotee of the Lord. So Vidura inquires many questions from Uddhava about everybody's welfare in Krishna's family, in Pandava's family. So he is inquiring about everybody, remembering all of them, all his family members, near and dear ones. And so the first chapter of third canto of Bhagavatam, in one sense we say Vidura is the hero. The focus is on Vidura. Vidura going to the pilgrimage, visiting many different places, meeting Uddhava and asking many questions. And then the second chapter of third canto of Bhagavatam starts, which is, first it describes the situation of Uddhava after hearing all those questions. Uddhava is absorbed in remembering Lord Krishna. He is filled with ecstasy. And Uddhava is described as a great devotee of the Lord, who has been a constant companion of Lord Krishna throughout his life. And during his early childhood, Uddhava was so absorbed, used to be so absorbed in playing with Krishna dolls, that even though when his mother is calling him to come eat breakfast, Uddhava will not come. He is just absorbed in playing and playing with Krishna doll, absorbed in Krishna consciousness. And then finally Uddhava starts to speak about Lord Krishna. And the main two theme is, one, how people misunderstand Krishna, how they are not able to understand the supremacy of Krishna. They consider Krishna to be an ordinary person. Even some of the Yadu members, the family members of Krishna's dynasty itself, Yadu dynasty, Vrishnis, even they were not able to recognize the supremacy of Krishna. And then the second theme is mercy of Krishna. How Krishna is so merciful on his devotees as well as all the demonic people, all the enemies also. He is delivering everybody, be it the devotee of the Lord or the demonic people. Krishna is merciful to everybody. So we discuss there is no difference in Krishna's lap and Krishna's slap. Krishna may put somebody in the lap or Krishna may slap somebody, but it's one and the same because they all are getting delivered. So we discuss many pastimes of Krishna which Vidura and Uddhava is narrating to Vidura. So the second chapter, in one sense, Uddhava is the hero. He is the center point. He is describing about the pastimes of Krishna, remembering Krishna. And now Uddhava starts to describe a brief history of all Krishna's pastime, from his birth to his going to Gokula, staying in Vrindavan, doing his wonderful pastimes in Vrindavan. Then ultimately he leaves Vrindavan to come back to Mathura, kills Kamsa and many other wonderful activities. So Uddhava very briefly is going to narrate all these beautiful, sweet pastimes. And if we look carefully, the first three chapters of third canto are like the complete summary, as a summary study of the 10th canto and 11th canto of Bhagavatam. Just in briefly three chapters, it's condensing all those. So Uddhava starts to describe how Lord Krishna appeared in the prison house of Kamsa as the eighth child of Devaki and Vasudev. Kamsa had killed the first six children of Devaki. The seventh child was transferred to the womb of Rohini and it appeared as if Devaki had miscarriage. And all the people, when they came to know this news that, oh, Devaki had a miscarriage, and the citizens of Mathura, they started to curse Kamsa. Kamsa is such a demoniac person. Earlier, he used to wait at least for the child to be born and then he will kill the child. Now he has killed the child of Devaki within the womb. He had used some tantric vidya or something and killed the child in the womb itself. Such a cruel person. And the ministers of Kamsa, the friends of Kamsa, they were thinking, oh, the seventh child of Devaki died by itself, so Kamsa does not have to kill one more child. And somebody was saying, oh, now the eighth child of Devaki is going to come, which is the actual call of Kamsa. And then somebody else says, what call? Don't worry, everything is under control. Nothing is going to happen. Kamsa is going to kill that child also. So finally, Krishna took birth from Devaki. It appeared as if Krishna is taking birth. But for Krishna, he is the Supreme Lord. For the Lord, there is no birth. There is no death. He is the source of everything, but there is nothing which is the source of the Supreme Lord. So how does Krishna appear in the prison house of Kamsa? It's not like as an ordinary child take birth. Krishna appeared first in the mind of Vasudev. And through the mind of Vasudev, Krishna entered into the heart of Devaki. And then Devaki was appearing as if she is carrying a baby in her womb. And then finally, when it was the right time for Krishna's appearance, Ashtami Tithi, Rohini Nakshatra, at that time, at the mid of the night, 12 o'clock, Lord Krishna appeared from the heart of Devaki in the prison house of Kamsa. And he did not appear as an ordinary child comes out of the womb of a mother with drenched with blood and crying. He appeared in the prison house of Kamsa in a four-handed Vishnu form, wearing yellow garments with a crown on his head, wearing nice jewelry, nice ornaments, curly hairs, Shankh Chakra Gada Pushpa, holding all these things in his four hands. This is how he appeared in the prison house. And then on the request of Mother Devaki and Vasudev, Krishna appeared as a small baby in front of them. So we discussed this a lot elaborately in the previous session on Janmashtami special talk. And because Vasudev and Devaki, they were afraid that Kamsa will come to know that the eighth child has taken birth and he will immediately come to kill him, because they were afraid. And Krishna, reciprocating with their emotions, their feelings, he inspired Vasudev from the heart that you take me to Gokul. You drop me at the house of Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda at Gokul. So Vasudev complied as per the inspiration given by Krishna in the heart. He carried Krishna in a basket. Actually, it's a seep, the one used to separate the wheat and the waste. So he carried Krishna, crossed the Yamuna, came to Gokul and left Krishna on the side of Mother Yashoda. As he kept Krishna on his head, as soon as he kept Krishna on his head, all the shackles, all the locks of the prison house, they opened. जैसे ही भगवान जगन्नाथ को अपने सर पर रखा तो सब बंधन छूट गए. And as Vasudev dropped Krishna in Gokul at the side of Mother Yashoda, kept the baby girl, which was born through Yashoda, he kept her on her head and brought back to the prison house. As soon as he arrived back in the prison house, again, all the shackles appeared back, all the doors got locked. तो जैसे ही भगवान को सर पर रखा तो सब बंधन छूट गए, जैसे ही भगवान की माया को सर पर वापस रखा तो सब बंधन फिर से पड़ गए. So what does this mean? If we are remembering Krishna, if we are always thinking of Krishna, all our bondages can be removed. But otherwise we are in the trap of Maya. So when we are in the trap of Maya, we are shackled with so many bondages within this material world. So Vasudevji came back with the baby girl, and we know the story, we described it briefly earlier. She appeared as Ashtabhuja Durga Roop, and when Kamsa was trying to kill her, she gave the warning, your death has already taken birth somewhere else. So now the pastimes of Krishna, they are starting, they are going on in Vrindavan, in Gokul. First Gokul, then Nandgaon, then Vrindavan. So all these beautiful pastimes of Krishna, he is performing wonderful leela. Sometime he is crying and sometime he is laughing. He is the heart of all the Brajavasis. So Krishna is not just the son of Nand Baba and Mother Yashoda. Actually all the Brajavasis, all the cowherd boys, gopis, they consider Krishna as their son. So he is the son of whole Brajavasis. And he is playing like an ordinary child. He is behaving like an ordinary child. Sometimes what does the child do? They will demand something from the parents. And when their demand is not fulfilled, what they do? They will lie down on the ground, throw their arms and legs, start crying. Oh, I want this, I want this. So Krishna will just do like that. He will just act out like an ordinary child. He will cry to fulfill his demands. And when the child gets what he wants, immediately what does he do? He becomes very happy. He starts to laugh. He starts to smile. So that is what Krishna is doing. He will lay down on the ground and start to cry when he doesn't get what he wants. And when he gets what he wants, then he will start jumping up and down. He will laugh. So beautiful pastimes of Krishna. They are going on in Vrindavan. All the Brajavasis are so attracted seeing all these beautiful pastimes. He will go to the houses of different gopis to steal butter along with all his friends. So Uddhava is remembering all these pastimes, describing them briefly to Vidura. And as Krishna grew up little older, 5 years old, he was telling Nanda Baba, "You are taking all the cows for herding the cows. I also want to go. Allow me also to come with you." And Nanda Baba said, "You are too small. You are too young yet. You just wait. Grow up little more. Then you can go to herd the cows." And as Krishna grew little older, 5-6 years of age, Nanda Baba assigned him the responsibility to take the calves to the forest for herding the cows, eating fresh grass from Govardhan from the nearby forest. So Krishna, along with the Dauji, Balram Bhaiya, and all other Gopa boys, cowherd friends, they will take all the calves to the forest. Krishna is carrying his flute, which he is playing on the flute while herding the cow. When the cows are herding, they will play and Krishna will sit down and play his flute, attracting all the cowherd boys and the young gopis. And what does Balramji carry? So Krishna is carrying the flute, but Balram, he is carrying what? The plow. Hal. Right? The other name of Balramji is Haladhar. So Krishna is playing on flute and Balramji is carrying the plow. And Krishna, with his example, actually is giving a very important message here. So Krishna is known as the protector of cows. And Balramji is carrying the plow, which is a sign of agriculture, tilling the land. What is plow used for? Right, to till the land, to grow the fruits, vegetables, crops. So Krishna, with his example, he is giving a very important message for all of us. Krishna moved from city to Vrindavan, to village. Krishna was born in a city, Mathura. From city he moved to a village, Vrindavan. And Krishna is showing what is the importance of a village life. What is the importance of village life? What is the importance of protecting the cow? What is the importance of protecting the bulls? The importance of agriculture, maintaining the land. So Krishna is saying, don't get absorbed in this city life. The too much buzz and bustlings of the city life. The village life is so peaceful. Enjoy the village life. So peaceful environment, no pollution. Just maintain some cows, maintain some land, do some agriculture, and this is the way you can be peaceful and happy in life. But modern people, everybody want to move from villages to city. Right? This is how all of us have come to all these big cities, and everybody's life is so busy. The city life, is the city life peaceful? Is the city life enjoyable? Is the city life very calm? There are so many troubles, so many problems in city life. First of all, the expenses are skyrocketing, right? Sky high. Earlier, somebody will have a nice house in the village or even in the cities earlier. The houses, people will have such big houses with big veranda in the middle. And they will sit there in the open air, enjoy. Now, the houses are becoming tiny, tiny, like boxes, small boxes. And in the big, big cities, getting a house is so expensive. In India, you go to big cities like Chandigarh or Bangalore, the houses are so expensive. Two bedroom apartment, what to speak of a big house. A small two bedroom, three bedroom apartment is like 1 crore rupees. And people are buying that expensive houses by taking so much of loan, and their whole life goes on paying the loan. The interest which people pay on that loan is maybe 1/3 of the loan amount itself. So people are working hard to earn that much money to be able to pay off for the houses. And are the basic necessity things cheaper anymore? So in cities, people go to buy all these things in stores, right? Big, big stores now. There are no more small businesses. Earlier, people will have their small business, small vendors who are providing the basic necessities. Now everything is overtaken by big, big companies, mega stores. And is the merchandise cheaper in the stores, or it's getting more and more expensive? What is the reason? See, for all those things to become available in the store, in all these big cities and to the different corners of the world, all those things have to be made available. So the transportation, which is all the big trucks which are transporting the goods from one city to another city, from one country to another country, all that transportation cost adds up. And for transporting the thing, then you have to pack also. We cannot just throw it in the truck and deliver it. You have to pack in nice cardboard boxes, plastic boxes. So much wastage of this cardboard, plastic. All these things are going on. So transportation, packaging, and the cost of these big, big buildings. Who is paying for all that? Are the storekeeper paying for that? Or ultimately, who is paying for that? Customer, right? The user is paying that. So all that cost add up, and the things are becoming so expensive. So the city life is not easy life. But everybody is attracted to city life. Nobody want to maintain the cows. Nobody want to do agriculture. I'm speaking about myself also. We all have come into this rat race. And we are just bound with all these things. But apart from that, contrary to that, village life. So just compare the village life. So peaceful. Earlier, people will work in the field for a few months, produce their necessities, some wheats, crops, vegetables, fruits, they are producing whatever they need. So they have to work only 4 months in a year, when they have to till the land, sow the seeds, plant the all these things. And after that, when the crop is growing up, they have a full time for on their side. There is no TV. And so many villages, actually no electricity. And when there is no electricity, what do you do? When it is sunset, people will burn their kerosene lamps. And they are sitting in the barandas, big open barandas. What do they do? Harikatha. Every evening there is Harikatha going on, right? They will be reading, listening something from Ramayana, from Mahabharata, from Bhagavat. So every day is satsang. There is nothing else, no time wasters. There is no Facebook, no Twitters, no WhatsApp, no all these things, right? No time wasters, just chill, enjoy, hear Harikatha, do Kirtan. Or at the best, people will go to sleep with sunset and wake up with sunrise. So peaceful life. And then, now there are so many artificial product people are creating. So this whole big advertisement industry. What is the advertisement industry focusing on? Are they really interested for your farewell? Or they are interested in their farewell? See, all these big, big companies, the big branded products, they do so much advertisement, and the cost of advertisement also adds into the cost of the product. And who is paying for that? The consumer. But do we really need those products? What is the motive of advertisement? Advertisement make you feel you need something which you really don't need. Isn't it?
Yes.
They give you the impression that you really need this thing. If you don't have this thing, your life is useless. For clothes, earlier people will have clothes, they will have the cotton, they will make the yarn and make the cloth, home stitched, right? Tailored, home tailored. Now, branded. Allen Solly and Nike and this and that. Do we really need branded shirt or branded dhoti? Dhoti doesn't have any brand. People will wear dhoti and kurta and that's it. More ladies are wearing the sari or suit. There's no question of brand, but people these days are so much caught up with branded products and they're spending so much money unnecessarily. And how these branded products are made? Some company from USA or UK or some other part of Europe, they will have the factory in India. They are making the things in India, put their stamp and sell in India on their brand. The same thing which maybe cost 500 rupees after putting their stamp becomes 2000 rupees. So it's all mind blockage. People want branded things. And now see, look at the ads of toothpaste and so many different soaps. Use this soap, use this toothpaste, Colgate and Close Up and Aquafina or whatever. I even don't know the name. I don't know how many years before I used those. People think, oh, these toothpaste are so nice, sweet, right? There is so much sugar in that actually. We don't need the sugar in toothpaste. You need actually neem. Earlier in village, people will use the neem datun. They will chew on that datun and when it becomes little brushy in the front, then they will massage on their gums. And that actually makes your gums much healthier. And people who used to do that method, their teeth will stay strong till 90 years, 100 years of age. Now people's teeth are falling out at the age of 40, 50, toothache problem, this problem, that problem. Actually, you don't need all these fancy toothpaste. You need is Dantamanjan. Right? Neem toothpaste.
Bandar chap
Dantamanjan. The black powder. See, the advertisement industry, what does it do? Earlier when people were using these things, right, these natural things, people were saying, oh, you are backward. You are still using the coal powder, the salt, that is so bad for your teeth. Use our toothpaste. It makes so much jhag, foam. But now after 20 years, the same company which was promoting like that, now they are coming back. After they have made you give up your natural ways, now they are introducing, oh, use our toothpaste. It has coal powder in it. It has some salt in it. Use our thing. So they switch you all to their products to make money out of you, drove you away from the natural things. So the village life actually is a very peaceful life, healthy life. And Krishna is promoting village life. Krishna is saying, herd the cows, maintain some cows, take the milk from the cows, drink that milk. It is so healthy. If somebody really want to do occupation, they can sustain themselves on one cow and little land. So maintain a cow, take the milk from the cow, drink that milk. If the milk is left over, make that into yogurt. Eat nice yogurt. If the yogurt is left over, convert that into butter. And if the butter is left over, further convert it into ghee. So you can consume all these healthy things. And if still left over from your personal uses, you can sell it to others also. And then just maintain some land with bulls, till the land, plant, whatever you need. And Prabhupada was actually promoting this philosophy. Right, Prabhupada wanted to start so many farm communities. The devotee get together, come together and start some farm communities. Keep some cows, keep some land, grow what you need and consume what you grow. So only depend on that. So the village life was all so peaceful and healthy way, no time wasters. And healthy in the sense, what is that? People are growing their own vegetables without the use of fertilizers, without the use of any pesticides, without any artificial GMOs, genetically modified organs. Right? It's all natural. But nowadays, are we confident what you are eating, what you are putting into your body is healthy for you, is safe for you? We have to be so careful when we buy this stuff from the market. Right? Is it a GMO food or a natural food? It appears like something but tastes like something else. Because they have mixed the breed of two things to make it to some to third category. So Krishna used to herd the cows. Go to the forest, playing on his flute, attracting all the gopis and the gopas on the melodies of his flute. And as Krishna used to go to the forest, all these gopis are thinking, when Krishna is gone to the forest all day, what will we do? And they used to come to the house of Nanda Maharaj and look at Krishna. You are going to the forest. Tell us something. What will we do? And Krishna, through the indication of his eyes, he will say, don't worry. Your mind will not go anywhere. Your mind is completely attached on me. I have controlled your minds. Yes, our minds will not go anywhere. But still we need some engagement. What will we do with the, in your absence? And Krishna used to tell them through the indication of his eyes. Today I am going in that direction. Or today I am going into that direction. So they will keep chasing Krishna through their eyes until Krishna becomes invisible from their eyes. Or many gopis, they will also think, we will also go behind Krishna. In whatever direction Krishna is gone, we will also go there. So they will take their pots of milk, yogurt, butter, ghee, and they will say, oh, we will also go, on the pretext of selling these things. And they are going, following Krishna in whichever direction he went, but their minds are completely absorbed in Krishna, rather than saying, doodh lelo, dahi lelo, makhan lelo. They are calling out to Kanhaiya lelo, makhan chor lelo, Nand Kishore lelo. They are completely absorbed in Krishna. So all these beautiful pastimes happened in Vrindavan. And Krishna killed many demons also while staying in Vrindavan. Kamsa used to send many wizards, many demons to attack on Krishna, to kill Krishna. First was Putana. She came when Krishna was just 6 days old baby. So we discussed this last time, mercy of Krishna, how Krishna sucked out the life air of Putana, because she came to feed milk to Krishna and feed poison through the milk. But Krishna just took the bhav of Putana, that she offered her milk. And Krishna gave her the position equal to the mother. Dhatri. Jo mata ka sthan hota hai, Krishna ne Putana ko wo sthan diya. So Uddhava is saying, how merciful is Krishna, who is giving a position of the mother to a demoness who came to kill him. Who else can be more merciful? Whom should we take shelter of? And then Krishna killed Taranavrata, Shaktasura, many other demons. And Krishna used to kill these demons as if he is playing with little dolls. And kids used to play with dolls, not these days. These days they have their guns and video games and all that. Earlier, we'll play with the clay dolls or the wooden dolls. So Krishna will kill those demons as if a small child play with the clay dolls, sometime break the neck or the shoulder or some other part of the demon. So Krishna, kisi ka सर उखाड़ दिया, किसी को घूंसा मारकर मार डाला. कृष्णा इज जस्ट किलिंग ऑल ऑफ देम एज इफ प्लेइंग विद दीज डॉल्स. सो ऑल दीज डीमंस दे विल कम टू अटैक ऑन कृष्णा. एंड वन ऑफ द डीमन वॉज अघासुर. हु वॉज अघासुर? एनी किड्स? हु वॉज अघासुर? यू शुड रिमेंबर दीज pastimes of Krishna, killing all these demons. Mukunda, who was Aghasura? The serpent demon, right? So Aghasura came, and so he was a demon. He came in the form of a big ajgar, snake. And what did he do? He put his lower lip touching the ground. And he opened his mouth and his upper lip was touching the sky. He opened his mouth. So the lower lip is touching the ground, upper lip is touching the sky, and he put his tongue out and spread it long on the land of Vrindavan, making it going up and down like a big flyovers these days. Right? They're connecting from one part of that to another part, like going this different crazy shapes up and down like a roller coaster. So he put his tongue out like that. And all these cowherd boys, the gopas, they are so much attracted. Are ye Vrindavan mein flyover kahan se aaya? This nice freeway flyover. They felt it like some flyover taking it to a nice cave. So they rushed, jumping onto that flyover, entered into the mouth of Aghasura. And all these cowherd friends, they are entering into the mouth of Aghasura. They don't have any fear. हम लोग कहां जा रहे हैं, ये स्काई फ्लाईओवर हमें कहां लेके जा रहा है, कौन से अनजान शहर में लेके जा रहा है. नो टेंशन, नो फियर. व्हेन कृष्णा इज हियर, नो फियर. सो दे ऑल रश्ड इनटू द माउथ ऑफ अघासुर एंड कृष्णा इज थिंकिंग वेयर आर यू गोइंग, होल्ड ऑन, वेट वेट वेट. एंड ऑल द देवी देवता स्टैंडिंग इन द स्काई, दे आर अफ्रेड. दीज काउहर्ड बॉयज आर नॉट अफ्रेड, दीज देवी देवताज आर गेटिंग अफ्रेड. And Krishna is also running behind them, entering into the mouth of Aghasura. So these Devi Devatas, they really became afraid. Oh, Krishna is entering into the mouth of this demon. If Krishna is killed, who will protect us? Krishna took birth to protect us. Now he himself is entering into the mouth of demon. Who will protect us? So that's why it says, to understand the activities of Krishna, it's very difficult. Even the Devi Devatas, they become bewildered. But all the cowherd boys, they have full faith in Krishna. Krishna bina ka gati. They know, apart from Krishna, there is nobody to deliver us. No deliverance, no shelter apart from Krishna. Krishna bina ka gati. And Krishna karayam namaha. We should pay obeisances to the activities of Krishna. His activities are so wonderful. So he entered into the mouth of Aghasur, and as Aghasur closed his mouth, everybody is trapped in the mouth of Aghasur. Krishna just with one punch pierced apart the body of Aghasur and came out with all the cowherd boys. And same time, one time, all the cowherd boys, they went into the forest playing with Krishna, herding the cows. So all the cows are, calves are herding in the forest, cowherd boys are playing. And at that time there was big forest fire. You remember that pastime? There was big forest fire. And what did Krishna do? Krishna told all the boys, close your eyes and lay down on the ground. And the boys did not even question Krishna. Why are you asking us to close the eyes? There is so much fire all around. If we close the eyes, we will even don't know when the fire will come closer to us. See, when the fire is all around you, you should be more aware, right? Where the fire is coming, is it getting closer to you? But Krishna said, close your eyes. They closed their eyes and lay down on the ground. They had so much faith in Krishna. Krishna bina ka gati. So we need to develop that kind of faith in Krishna. When there is trouble in life, when things are not going the way we want the things to go, We need to have faith in Krishna. Maybe Krishna has some special plan behind all this. Why this is happening? For my benefit, for my purification. And Krishna will take me out of this situation. So why Krishna asked them to close their eyes? You know the secret? You want to know? So Krishna was thinking, earlier one time, I ate little mud. All these boys, they went to Mother Yashoda and complained about me. Krishna ne mitti khaya hai. Abhi main aag khane ja raha hun. Ye phir se jaake ghar pe bole, dekho Krishna ne aag khaya. And Mother Yashoda will say, Johnny, Johnny, open your mouth. So Krishna said, just close your eyes. Lay down on the ground. So they all lay down on the ground and Krishna just swallowed the fire. Just drank the whole fire in his mouth. And protected all the cowherd boys. So wonderful activities of Krishna. Each and every activity of Krishna is teaching us how Krishna is so merciful. How he takes care of all his friends and relatives and near and dear ones. He does not let any harm come to them. So we need to develop that faith. And then Krishna, apart from killing all these demons which were sent by Kamsa, Krishna did some other leelas also which were not part of Kamsa. Any demon or anybody you know which was not actually sent by Kamsa. Kaliya. Right? Kaliya was not sent by Kamsa. Kaliya happened to be there. He came to Yamuna. So Kaliya was living in Yamuna. And because of Kaliya's, that snake, multi-hooded snake, because of his presence in the waters of Yamuna, the Yamuna was becoming poisonous. And when the cows, they are going to drink the water in Yamuna, they are drinking that poisonous water and they are falling sick. The cows are dying. The cowherd boys, the gopas, they are becoming scared. So they came to rushing to Nanda Maharaj, please do something. And Krishna heard there is something mysterious happening in the waters of Yamuna. Krishna came there on the pretext of playing there, threw his ball in the waters of Yamuna. And to bring that ball out of the waters of Yamuna, he jumped into Yamuna. And we know how Krishna, he delivered that snake Kaliya. So there was a fight going on between Krishna and Kaliya. Kaliya is trying to catch Krishna in his hoods. And Krishna is coming out of the bondage of Kaliya. And finally Krishna danced on the hoods of Kaliya, giving his mercy. Putting Krishna's foot on somebody's head. It's a big mercy. Even the Devi Devatas, they aspire for that Krishna, somehow we can get the dust of Krishna's feet. But Kaliya was so fortunate that he got the dust of Krishna's feet, not just the dust, he got the footprints of Krishna on his hoods. And because the wives of Kaliya, they prayed to Krishna that please forgive our husband. And pleased by the prayers of Nagapatnis, Krishna did not kill Kaliya. He let Kaliya go, ordered him to leave the waters of Yamuna and go somewhere else. So Krishna delivered Kaliya and all the Nagapatnis and protected all the Brajabasis. And Krishna performed another wonderful leela of breaking the pride of Indra. Nanda Maharaj was preparing to perform a sacrifice for the satisfaction of Indra, Indra Puja. So now all these pastimes, we are just going through some brief pastimes as narrated by whom? Who is narrating to whom? Uddhava is narrating to Vidura. Right? Vidura inquired about the welfare of all these people, remembrance of Krishna. And Uddhava is just remembering Krishna, some of his wonderful activities, and briefly mentioning some of the activities. Just a glimpse of Krishna's wonderful activities. Krishna Karayam Namaha. So he is remembering this pastime. So he is telling one other pastime when Krishna broke the pride of Indra. Nanda Maharaj was doing the sacrifice for Indra, Indra Puja. They were feeling indebted to Indra for all the rainfalls which happen. And because of the rainfall, the nice crops grow. So Nanda Maharaj thought we should pay our debts to Indra so that he keep showering these rains, maintain his mercy on all the Braj Bhumi. And Krishna told, why you want to worship Indra? Indra is just doing his duty. He is the controller of rain, but ultimately everything is coming from Vishnu. He is just the servant of Vishnu. We don't need to pay any taxes, any debts to Indra. Better we worship Govardhan. See, Govardhan, we are Vaishyas, we are maintaining the cows. And cows need to eat grass. And Govardhan is the one who is providing all this grass. Let's go worship Govardhan instead. So he influenced all the Brajabasis, including Nanda Maharaj. They said, yes, let's stop this year. We will not do Indra Puja. We will listen to Krishna and we will do Govardhan Puja. And as Indra came to know of this, he heard that this small talkative boy, 7 year old boy, bahut bolta hai ye. Ye chota sa bachcha, inki baaton mein aakar sab Brajabasi meri puja chodkar Govardhan ek parvat pahad ki puja kar rahe hain. They are going to worship this mountain, lump of sand. So Indra ordered his clouds, which are used for devastation, go and devastate the whole Vrindavan. Have a big pour of rain. So there was a big rain happening. And this rain continued for 7 days. And what did Krishna do to protect the Brajavasis? He lifted the Govardhan mountain on his little finger and held it like an umbrella for 7 days. All the Brajavasis, 80 coast, 80 coast, 84 coast actually, all the Brajavasis from that much area, they came under the shelter of Govardhan mountain, which was held by Krishna as an umbrella. So nobody is feeling any hunger, nobody is feeling any thirst, nobody is feeling sleepy. They are happily staying under Govardhan mountain in proximity of Krishna for 7 days. And Krishna is nicely holding on umbrella, that Govardhan on one hand, little pinky finger of the left hand, and with right hand he is playing on his flute, keeping everybody engaged, everybody attracted. And that was the first lockdown. Right? People had to stay confined within that small area under the Govardhan hill. They did not feel, oh, we cannot go anywhere. We cannot do anything.
They were only for 7 days.
7 days. Yeah, but 7 days, they were confined in one place. Nothing to do. No food, no water, nothing. They are just staying there. Happily enjoying the company of Krishna. And Indra himself came. He is throwing, attacking on the Govardhan with his thunderbolt to make it fall down. But Krishna is just happily lifting. See, anybody, can they lift something? Even a brick. Anybody ready to take that challenge? Just a small brick. Not on finger, on full hand. That much concession. On one full hand, one small brick, hold it for 1 hour. Even one small thing, we cannot just keep our hand like that. Our hand becomes tired. We want to put it down, do some stretching. Right? And Krishna was holding the whole mountain on little pinky finger. And that mountain is also not stable. That mountain is being attacked by the thunderstorm. The thunderbolt lightning is falling on that. It's shaking. But Krishna is keeping it stable. So all these wonderful activities of Krishna, what does it lead to? Sometimes people think Krishna, oh, he was an ordinary boy, he was a cowherd boy, or then later on he became the prince, he was ruling Dwarika, he was a great politician. But nobody can compare to the activities of Krishna, the superhuman activities, extraordinary activities. Nobody can match Krishna in strength, in beauty, in wealth, in knowledge, and on top of that, renunciation, completely detached. So Krishna performed so much wonderful leela. He attracted the heart of all the gopas and gopis. Everybody is so attached to Krishna. But when Akruraji came, sent by Kamsa to bring Krishna and Balram to Mathura, Krishna left everybody immediately without thinking anything. Oh, they are so attached to me, I am so attached to them, what will they do without me? Krishna said, duty calls, and Krishna left everything and went to Mathura. Oh, now my next part of Leela is going to start. The purpose, I have appeared on this planet to deliver the devotees, to destroy the demonic people. So he left everybody, all the gopis, got onto the chariot brought by Akruraji and went to Mathura. And all the gopis, they're crying, they're chasing Krishna. All the friends of Krishna, they're saying, why are you leaving us? And Krishna said, just 2 days. Going only for 2 days. I will be back after 2 days. But he never returned. 100 years Krishna did not return. So Krishna left everybody and came to Mathura. And his leela in Mathura is going to start now. So Uddhava, after describing his Vrindavan leela in briefly, now he describes his Mathura leela. So he said he came to Mathura, and without going into too many other details, ki dhanush ka yagya ka dhanush tod diya, kubja ka uddhar kiya, all these things happened, but Uddhava is just focusing on Krishna came and killed Kamsa. No much detail. That he dragged Kamsa from his throne, but pulling him from his throne, dragged him along the earth, and he killed Kamsa. And after killing Kamsa, Krishna went to the prison house to relieve Vasudeva and Devaki from the prison house. And what is Krishna doing? What is Krishna saying to Vasudeva and Devaki? He is falling at their feet, telling, I am very sorry. I was your son, but still, I was there, still you had to suffer so much. I could not do anything for you. Please forgive me. Krishna is the father of the whole universe. He is the maintainer of whole universe. And he is acting like an ordinary child. Oh, please forgive me. I could not serve you enough. I could not. Aapki seva nahi kar paya main kuch itne saalon se. Why is Krishna doing that? We briefly discussed it last time actually. Because Krishna is feeling, Vasudeva Devaki, they are having this feeling Krishna is God. He killed Kamsa so easily. He is God. And if they have that emotions toward me, they will not be able to enjoy Vatsalya Ras. So Krishna is acting like an ordinary son. Main aapki kuch seva nahi kar paya. I couldn't serve you anything. Please forgive me. Now I am back. Now you can do everything, whatever desires you had. You could not do my naming ceremony. You could not do my Annaprashara ceremony. You could not send me to the school for education. Now you can do everything. So they came back from that emotion thinking Krishna is God and came back to the Vatsalya Ras. So now, Vasudevji is thinking, eventually Krishna need to take the responsibility of the kingdom. So he need to go get some education. The master of all the universes, the one who is giving education to everybody, one who gave all the knowledge in the heart of Brahma, he is going to Gurukul to get some education. How wonderful is that? So who, to whose ashram Krishna went for getting education? Anybody know the name of Guru of Krishna? Sandipani Muni. So Krishna went to the ashram of Sandipani Muni. Sandipani Muni accepted Krishna as his student. See, when they wanted to send Krishna to a Gurukul, to a Guru's ashram, nobody in whole Mathura was ready to accept Krishna as student. You know the reason? Because they knew Krishna is Lord Vishnu, or Krishna is the Supreme Lord. And all the people, all the those, the great teachers, the gurus at that time, they're all Vaishnavas there. And they say, how can we accept Krishna as our student? But Sandipani Muni, whose ashram was in Ujjain, he was a Shivite, worshipper of Lord Shiva. So he accepted Krishna as his student. So Krishna went to the ashram of Sandipani Muni, stayed there for how long? For how long Krishna stayed there to get education? 64 days. In 64 days, Krishna mastered the 64 field of education. One day, one field of education. Ek din silai, ek din kadhai, ek din painting, ek din music, ek din sare shastra, ek din medicine, ek din engineering, ek din accounting. So all the fields of education, one day Krishna is learning, at night he is practicing, and 64 days he mastered the 64 field of education. 64 kala. Anybody has that capacity? For one field of education, to become engineer or become doctor, how many years we spend?
16 years.
16 years of basic education, 10th up to 12th, and 4 years of in degree, and then maybe 2 years of master's specialization. So 16 to 18 years for one field of education. A doctor banna to 25 saal nikal jate hain, aadhi zindagi nikal jati hai. Krishna mastered all the fields 64 days. He stayed in the ashram of Sandipani Muni only 64 days. But the point is, Krishna is showing by his example the importance to accept a guru. Krishna himself accepted a guru, Sandipani Muni. Does Krishna really need somebody to teach him? No. But for us, Krishna is showing the importance that we need. That what is the need of guru? I can learn everything by reading some books, by searching on Google, Google Guru. Right? People want Google Guru. They don't want a person guru. They want Google Guru. We can search everything up on Google. But just imagine, for any field of life, even to learn some math, learn English, learn any language, you need a guru. You need somebody, a teacher. Then what to speak of? Getting spiritual knowledge. Even for running, can you imagine? Running need a guru. So all these sports people, if they have to run a marathon or even a race for 100 meter, 400 meter, to be able to fulfill their target within particular time frame, they need a coach. They need a guru for that. For running, you need a guru. And we think, for spiritual life, I don't need a guru. I will be able to make progress on my own. Krishna is showing by his example, we need to accept a guru. Anytime Krishna appears in any of his avatars where he stayed for extended period, he accepted a guru. Lord Ramachandra. He accepted guru. Who was guru of Lord Ramachandra? Vashishtha ji and Vishwamitra ji. So Lord Ram accepted Vashishtha as guru. And when all the four brothers, they came in the ashram of Vashishtha ji, you know what Vashishtha do? He made them sit on an elevated asana And Vashishthi did Pratakshina of all the four brothers. And he is paying obeisances to Lord Ram. My dear Lord, what is this Leela? You are the Guru of all the world, Jagat Guru. And you have come to my ashram. You are telling Dashrath Maharaj, inspiring in his heart, that you all need to come to the ashram of a Guru to get some education. What is this Leela? And Lord does not reply. Lord Ram, he is Maryada Purushottam. When people are telling, oh, you are the Supreme Lord, he just keep quiet, smiling. Just smiling, just looking at everybody smiling. He doesn't say anything, doesn't speak anything. And he went to the forest with Vishwamitra, right, to protect his yajna. So he accepted Vishwamitra, he served Vishwamitra also as the Guru. Vishwamitra is going in the forest, he is telling Lord Ramachandra and Lakshman, Lam, Lakshman, come. I will give you some special weapons. Aaj main tumhe bal aur mahabal dunga. And Lord Ram is sitting there and listening to Vishwamitra and accepting all the weapons given by him, all the knowledge given by him. And while they were going to Mithila, Janakpuri, on the way they went through many places. And Lord Ram, just as an ordinary person, he is inquiring from Vishwamitra, can you please tell me what is the history of this Ganga, this river Ganges? Now just imagine from where this Ganges came. It appeared from the toe of Lord Vishnu. And he is asking, can you tell me what is the history of Ganges? How did the Ganga appear on earth? So he is taking full mood. Even though he knows everything, he is just acting like an ordinary student and getting the learning, education from his Guru. And same way Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he accepted Ishwarapuri as his Guru to show the example to the world that one need to accept a Guru. And he is getting the learning, the education from Ishwarapuri. He is telling, my Guru considered me a foolish person. And he told me, just chant the holy name of the Lord. Chant this Hare Krishna mantra. I am just accepting the order of my Guru and chanting the holy name. And later on, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas diksha from Keshava Bharati. And Keshava Bharati was thinking, oh, he knew Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's position. He is the Supreme Lord. He is thinking, how can I give initiation to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, inspired in his heart, he said, I will first give the mantra in your ear and then you give that mantra to me as initiation. So he first initiated his own Guru, Keshava Bharati, and then took initiation from him, just as a custom. So every time when Krishna appears, either in the form of Lord Krishna, in the form of Lord Ramachandra, in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is accepting a Guru to show to the world the importance of accepting a Guru. If we are sincere in making any progress in spiritual life. So Krishna stayed in the ashram of Sandipani Muni for 64 days. And after that he came back to Mathura. And during their 64 days, he made friendship with Sudama Brahman, Sudama Vipra. We know that story. I'm not going to go into those details yet. We are going to stay on track with what Vidura, Uddhava is telling to Vidura. So after coming back, so that is the whole pastime of Krishna as Krishna's mercy. And while staying there, before coming back to Mathura, he asked his Guru, what can I do for you? Because as a custom, student need to do Guru Dakshina, need to give Guru Dakshina. See, earlier time that was the custom. It's not like before admission, you go to the school and they are telling you the yearly fees is 1 lakh rupees or 2 lakh rupees, like that. That time there was nothing like that. Anybody who is going to get education in the ashram, everybody is welcome. And before they leave, after getting the education, for so many years they stay at the ashram of Guru, before leaving, they will give any donation to Guru, whatever is their capacity. Or they will ask Guru, what can we do for you? So Krishna, as a custom, he asked his Guru, Sandipani Muni, what can I do for you? How can I serve you? And Sandipani Muni, knowing the position of Krishna, that only Krishna is capable of doing that task. See, focus on mercy of Krishna. So all these verses, these are focused on mercy of Krishna. That is the theme. He asked Krishna, my son died at a very young age. Can you bring my son back to life? Can a guru ask any ordinary student that kind of thing? Only Krishna is capable of doing these sort of miraculous things. So Krishna said, definitely, sure, no problem. Krishna went to search for the son of Guru. And to search for the son, ultimately he reached to Yamapuri, the abode of Yamaraj. Abode of Yamaraj, everybody only goes after death. Nobody is able to go to the abode of Yamaraj and bring back somebody. But Krishna went to the abode of Yamaraj to bring back the son of Sandipani Muni. So we hear another pastime, another story, when how, what is the name of that, Savitri and Satyavan. Savitri fought with Yamaraj to free her husband. Right? So Yamaraj took the life of Satyavan. He was taking Satyavan, and Savitri, he performed austerity. She wanted to bring her husband back to life. And Yamaraj said, no, nobody, when it is their time to die, nobody can bring back. But Savitri, because of her prayers, her austerity, her chastity, she forced Yamaraj. And Yamaraj became pleased with Savitri and asked, okay, ask me any benediction. What benediction you want? And Savitri said, please grant that I become the mother of a child. And Yamaraj said, Tathastu. Now she said, how can I become a mother without my husband? So please return my husband. So Yamaraj had to leave Satyavan. So but that instance happened on earth only, before Yamaraj took Satyavan back to Yampuri. But now in this case, Krishna is going to Yampuri to bring back the son of Sandipani Muni. And Yamaraj, as Krishna arrived at the gates of Yamapuri, blew his conch shell. Yamaraj recognized, oh, this conch shell is Krishna's conch shell. Krishna has personally come here. He came running at the door of Yamapuri to receive Krishna. What can I do for you? Krishna said, please return the son of my guru. I have come to take the son of my guru. Yamaraj said, what about his karma? He has died because of his karma. When I am asking, return it, then return it. What is the question of karma? Karma is in my hand. I can relieve anybody from their karmic reaction. So please return him. The message here, wonderful message here, is Krishna can remove all sort of karma. Even the prarabdha karma also Krishna can remove. Whatever suffering is due to us, right? Whatever suffering we are going to face in this lifetime, Krishna can actually remove that. And as soon as we surrender to Krishna, Krishna holds on to our prarabdha karma. He is holding our prarabdha karma in his hands. But then why does the devotee still suffer? When a devotee makes promise to Krishna that I will surrender to you, engages in the sadhana bhakti, Krishna is holding their prarabdha karma in their hand. But again, as we become some naughty, little mischievous, Krishna is releasing little prarabdha karma. Otherwise, Krishna is holding on to our prarabdha. He can remove all the prarabdha. But because of our own mischievous activities, our own misconduct, we have to face, go through that prarabdha. As Krishna says, sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam raja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami mashuchah. Do not worry, do not fear. I will relieve you from all the sinful reaction. Mam ekam sharanam raja. Just take my shelter. Come into my shelter. And if somebody takes shelter of Krishna, Krishna holds on to their prarabdha karma. If somebody has to suffer a big reaction, somebody is going to die by piercing of some sharp object, Krishna can remove that. In a token, we may get a small cut, on the finger, small cut on the foot. Actually, once there were two brothers. One brother, he was very sinful person. He used to engage in all sort of sinful reaction, sinful activities, gambling, drinking, associating with other women. He was doing all sinful activities. The other brother, he was very pious person, very devoted, devotional person. And one day, this sinful person, sinful brother, he is coming from somewhere, and on the way actually he found a big pot of gold coins. And the other person, who is a very devotional person, he was returning back from the ashram of his guru, and while going home, some sharp object was lying on the floor, on the ground, and it pierced on his foot, and his foot got hurt. So one brother who is sinful, he got a pot of gold coins. And the other one who is a devotee, who is a sincere person, devotional person, he got some suffering. Got some sharp object piercing into the foot. And he got this doubt. He came to his guru, asked him, why does this happen? A sinful person is getting a reward, and I am such a, trying to be a nice, pious person, I am getting suffering. Why is that? How does, I cannot understand. This is beyond my capacity to understand. A lot of people get this doubt. The sinful people are enjoying, and the good people, they are suffering. So the guru asked, actually, the sinful person, if he was not engaged in all those sinful activities, actually based on his karma, he was due to become a king of the country, have all these big opulences. Because he is engaging all this sinful activity, all his pious credit is going down. And rather than getting the big, all treasure, he just got a small pot with gold coins. All his pious credit got minimized. And you had a lot of quota of sinful reaction from your previous lives. But now, because you are being a very pious person, very devotional person, all those sinful reactions are becoming minimized. You could have got died actually, but in exchange you got little some suffering. So Krishna can remove all the sinful reaction when somebody surrenders unto Krishna. All the suffering can get minimized. So Krishna told, forget about all the karma. When I am telling you, I relieve him from all the, from his previous prarabdha, the previous karma. Return the son of my guru. So Krishna brought back the son of Sandipani Muni back to his guru as a token of Guru Dakshina. So the wonderful activities of Krishna. When we remember these activities of Krishna, what should we do? Pay obeisances to Krishna. Pay obeisances to the activities of Krishna. Krishnam karayam namaha. Krishna bina kagati. Nobody can get any deliverance beyond, without Krishna. So after describing these, Krishna came back to Mathura. Now Uddhava is describing the marriages of Krishna. How many wives Krishna had? 16,108. 16,108. So Krishna had that many wives. And because of that also some people think, oh Krishna, he is a characterless person. He had so many wives. Because people don't understand the supremacy of Krishna, Krishna is not marrying all those wives just for his enjoyment, his pleasure. He accepted all these women as his wives, whoever submitted themselves to Krishna, who wanted to accept Krishna as their husband. So Krishna obliged and accepted them as their wives. So out of all these 16,108, 8 are the primary queens of Krishna. Ashta Bharaya. Bharaya means wife. Ashta means eight. So the eight are the primary queens of Krishna. And what are these eight primary queens? Somebody know the name of these eight queens? You will know maybe three, four. You can count three, four. Let's see.